Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to this week's episode of Mill Liberty. I am your host, Caleb Franz. This is the voice of liberty for a new generation. I am thrilled to have you here today. I'm thrilled to have you here on this episode, this edition of the program. We got a lot of things to go over. We have our topic for today, our topic for the episode here today, which is going to be a fun one, or at least a point of contention that is still driving a lot of those in conservative and libertarian circles very split on this particular issue. But before I get into that, I do want to say that thank you for your support. Thank you for your audience that you are providing me, for lending me your ear. That is greatly appreciated. If you don't mind, please go out and share this program. I know there's a lot of things going on internally and just around the world, and my hope is that this program sort of serves as a voice of reason, and it helps you sort of get sort of clarity, a little bit of clarity and a little bit of focus in the world and in your own personal life, and how to focus on issues and how to look at issues the way that I have found, at least the best way to approach those things and to focus on those things. Sometimes I'm not always right, and in fact, a lot of those times I like to go back and highlight those mistakes or those points or instances where I wasn't right before, because I think that helps us all grow a little bit. So if you don't mind, please share this program. We have a lot of things that I want to get into in the near future. A lot of big changes are going to be happening in the near future that I will be getting into a little bit more toward the end of this episode, so stick around for that. But again, if you will, just, you know, go out, share it with a friend, a family member, you know, whoever you think either would love this content or you think who needs this content, both of which are very important points of distinction. You might want to approach that conversation a little differently depending on what kind of person that person might be. But whoever that might be, please go out and share it with at least one or two other people, so that way we can keep this audience growing, keep this idea that we're building this bridge between people who might have differences of opinions, different takes on different issues, and we're building this community of liberty lovers, so that way we know how to sit down and just speak with one another about these really important topics. All right, so with that being said, real quick before we do get into this, if you are listening to this on the day of release, it will be a Thursday, and on June 13th, and if you happen to be in the Atlanta area while listening to this, I will be at FeeCon. This will be my first year attending FeeCon, so I am very, very excited about that. But if you happen to be in the Atlanta area, please be sure to swing by the event. If you're going to that event, be sure to, you know, search for me, find me out, and we'll sit down and have a conversation, because I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you enjoy about the program. I'd love to hear your own story, your own personal story, and everything like that. So I am very excited to see everyone there, and if you're going to be there, I'll be happy to sit down and chat with you. So just let me know, or if you see me there, then just reach out to me, and I'll be glad to have a conversation with you. Now, with that being said, I do want to get into this week's topic, and it is something that has been going around for quite some time, but it's been made relevant again, or at least more relevant again recently, and that is this battle that's been going on between the big tech industry, and conservatives on social media platforms, on YouTube, on Google, on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever the case may be. And there's a lot of division, even among libertarians, and I know that's crazy to think that libertarians might be divided on a topic, but they are. It's absurd to think that. But there's a lot of division among libertarians, and especially among conservatives, for those who seem to think that this is an issue of free speech, and in a way it is. In a way I can definitely understand that. This is an issue of free speech, and that they feel targeted by these giant conglomerates of the industry, of the tech industry, of the social media industry. So what should be the libertarian response to this? And that's really the root core of what I want to get into this week with you, is that how should libertarians respond to when these giant tech industries, these giant tech giants, whenever they go out of their way to either silence a particular individual or whenever they go out of their way to ban particular individuals or groups of people, should that be something that libertarians look at as a free speech issue, as so many people have, and say we need to use the power of the government to exercise their authority to protect freedom of speech, which is, in libertarian philosophy, one of the core tenets of basic libertarianism. If you're not just a pure absolute anarchist, which most people are not, that might be a shocker to hear for some of you, but most people are not anarchists. So if that is one of the jobs of government, is to protect the rights of speech of every individual, then this seems to be, at least on the surface, this seems to be an issue where the government can and should try to become involved. But really, that only really scratches the surface of the way that we should be approaching this issue in particular. What this issue is really about, it's not about free speech, at least not in the way that some people are saying it is. What it is about is freedom of association, and whether or not these corporations and these giant media conglomerates or giant tech conglomerates have the right to do what it is that they wish to do within their own companies. Now, when you frame the question in that way, I think more libertarians, not most, or certainly not all, but a lot more libertarians will come down to the same conclusion on this issue, and that is that of course they have the same right to do that, just as much as you or I do. Whenever you're letting someone into your club, your business, your house, whatever it may be, at least under libertarian philosophy, that should be their right, and I would agree with that. But at least when you're framing it not as a free speech issue, but as a freedom of association issue, then that's when you can get a lot more of a clear vision from the individuals within this debate, within the structure of this debate. Because when you make it clear that it's not a free speech issue, even though, yes, I 100% agree that Facebook, Google, YouTube, all these different things, they should not be banning any of the, I shouldn't say any of them, some of them are justified, and that is part of the reason why they should have the right to do this, because that's a discretion thing, it's totally up to them, and some of them I agree with, most of them I don't, most of them it's pretty clear that they are taking, what a lot of people see as racist or homophobic or sexist, and they're dialing it up to 11 to a level that, you know, most people would never even dream that that's what they intended whenever they said said whatever they said. And that seems to be the case with most of these individuals that keep getting banned, and we'll get into one in particular here in a second, the one that sort of resurfaced this debate. But when you reframe this discussion from away from free speech, because that's really not what this issue is about. Of course, speech should be encouraged. Speech should be. I highly encourage people to go out and have that free flow of ideas, no matter how bad those ideas might be. I love it whenever I hear new crazy, just batshit crazy ideas, because if it's wrong, it should be pretty easy to debunk or to just slap away, just throw down with the majority of people will walk away. Most sane people will walk away after hearing your arguments and understand and have a better way to approach that issue. If it's crazy but it's correct, then that's at least a challenge. This is why speech should never be silenced or censored, regardless of if it's a company or especially if it's the government. But the real issue here that separates this from being a free speech issue from a freedom of association issue is the fact that it's not the government silencing individuals from these platforms. And that seems to be lost on a lot of people. A lot of people seem to think that libertarians are somehow okay with people being silenced as long as it's not the government doing the silencing. There's a massive difference between Facebook banning someone and the government legislating what people can and cannot say. And the fact that I even have to spell that out for some people is frightening and concerning, because the government, whenever they write something down and make something a law, they have the full backing of the state behind it. They have the full backing and the full authority of the enforcement behind that law, where you have men with guns being willing to go in, and in a best case scenario, you either get fined or you get jailed. In a worst case scenario, you pay with breaking the law with your life. In any of those scenarios, speech should not be within that confine just by saying something. Just because you say something, you shouldn't have to be forced to be fined. You shouldn't have to be forced to give up any sort of money, any sort of property. You shouldn't have to be forced to give up your freedom by being thrown in jail, and you certainly shouldn't have to be forced to give up your life. Now, that is not what's happening, obviously. What's happening is that someone is losing their platform on a social media conglomerate. And that is not persecution. It sucks, yes. It is unwise on the part of the social media company, or the search engine in the case of Google. It is certainly not in the spirit of free speech, because we don't want government writing these laws not just to protect the diversification of ideas, but also to encourage the diversification of ideas. So whenever companies are doing this, yeah, that sort of violates the spirit of free speech. But it doesn't violate the First Amendment, like some conservatives seem to think. And the idea that some people can't see the difference between a corporation violating free speech and the government doing it is just wildly concerning to me. You're not in danger of losing your life whenever you do that. You're not in danger whenever a corporation, say, silences you on their platform that you are using. That, in most cases, is 100% free. No, the real issue here, and I think this is what's really going to show people their true colors on whether or not they truly believe in free markets and the power of the engine of capitalism versus those who are just no different than progressives on the left who just seek to regulate every industry out of existence. And a lot of people on the right are starting to show their colors with regard to this. A lot of people on the far right are especially starting to show how similar they are to the progressive wing, or I should say to the left wing, because they're both progressives or regressives, as people like Dave Rubin and people like that would like to say. And now, in some cases, he is one of the very people who might be making these arguments too. So I say that kind of ironically. Now, I like Dave, and I think he is one of the few people who's at least giving the benefit of the doubt that no, we shouldn't be running to the government to find these solutions. In a lot of cases, he's right about some of the things that these giant companies are doing, but a lot of people who run in similar circles to him are not saying that. A lot of similar people are saying that this is why we need to utilize the power of the government to go in and regulate these companies to do the bidding of who's in power right now? The Republicans. To make sure that conservatives are not going to be silenced on social media platforms. Now, that may sound noble, but what that's going to do is just going to come back around and bite them in the ass, because eventually, you're going to see more left-wing organizations or left-wing talking points start to be silenced, left-wing individuals start to be silenced on the same platforms, and then you're going to have a Democratic president or a Democratic Congress, and it's just going to be a swing of the pendulum. That's not something that you want to start to do. Once you unlock the power of the state to start regulating things concerning speech issues, that is a dangerous Pandora's box that you are not going to be able to close easily. I'm not going to say it cannot be closed, because we have gone to much darker places in our history before, and we have bounced back from that. So I'm not going to say it cannot be closed whatsoever. However, I will say that it is increasingly difficult the more you chip away at the basic tenets of what the government is supposed to do, and then what other companies should be allowed to do. Once you start to chip away at that basic tenet, it's so much harder to glue it back together. And even when it's glued back together, it's never the same as what it once was before you started chipping away at it. That's a dangerous, dangerous precedent that you don't want to go down that road. Now, what this battle is truly going to be about is going to not be about free speech, but it's going to be about freedom of association, and eventually this is going to become about monopolies. Mark my words, the left is not going to cower away from this fight. They're not going to be the ones who are just trying to fight conservatives on supporting the right of the private company to go in and do whatever it is that they want. No, they're going to take this, they're going to utilize it, and they're going to say, see, this is why these companies need broken up. And when that happens, it all but ensures that those companies, that when broken up, it's not... It baffles my mind that people can't see this. Competition is not the essence of capitalism. Now, I've said this before. I don't know if I've really made this argument on the program before, but I have certainly made this argument on Twitter and things like that, on other social medias. Competition is not the essence of capitalism. Competition is the byproduct of capitalism. Whenever people are unhappy with a product or a service that a company, a corporation, someone like that is providing, that is when competition blooms. When they're happy with it, there's no need for it. If the prices are right, if the quality is right, if all those things are right, then there's often no need for it. And oftentimes, if competition does bloom in those situations, it happens because someone else is saying, all right, this is stagnant, and I can do better than this. I can provide another option, and it's a good and healthy thing. That's not the essence of capitalism, though. That's the byproduct of it. The essence of capitalism and free market is voluntary trade, and transactions, and the private control of the means of production. That's the essence of capitalism. It has nothing to do with competition at the forefront. What happens is that that is what inevitably occurs once you unleash the engine of capitalism. What we have right now, even in the tech industry and even in big tech and all these different things, you know, big social media and all that, what we have right now is, one, we're still in a very early stage of growth and development for this. It's easy to say that, well, where are all the competition? Where's all the competition? First of all, Twitter is a direct competitor to Facebook. And in my opinion, as much as of a dumpster fire as Twitter is, it really is the full embodiment and expression of free speech in many regards. Now, yes, they still ban people, and sometimes, a lot of times, they get it wrong. However, when you look at it compared to Facebook, it is by far a safer solution for those seeking freedom of speech on the internet. It is a direct competitor. Just because you don't like that they are one of the few competitors that can compete in quality with Facebook, just because you don't like that, that does not mean that they're not a competitor. Whenever you break up these companies, what happens is that all the same companies, all the people, all the executives, they all go and they're all dispersed into these companies that are pretty much created by the state whenever they broke up this quote-unquote monopoly. And then instead of a monopoly, you have a duopoly or three or four different companies that control the entire industry. And because of the new laws that are set in place, any sort of competition cannot possibly break through that window, or at least it becomes increasingly more difficult to break through it. And it ensures that those at the top, those people who the government was supposedly sticking at Adam, those people have been ensured that they will not come down. Government has by result created a safety net out of the very thing that they were trying to take a hammer to. That is what monopoly and antitrust laws do. And whenever you hear people on both the right and the left talk about it with regard to big tech, with regard to those in the internet, and with regard to those in social media, that's what's going to happen. You're not going to have more competition. You're going to have the same people in charge of just a handful of more options. And that's it. I mean, hell, look at the way that the cell phone industry works right now. After Bell was broken up back in the 80s by Ronald Reagan. Yeah, we have AT&T and Verizon, and then a few, you know, lowly competitors that don't really have much of, you know, they're pretty bad. But that's because that's what came out of Bell, is you just had just a handful of different competitors that was made out of it, and then nothing really else, because no one else can compete. Whenever they're left alone on this island and there's no government there to sort of bail them out or to sort of get back on their side, then that is when the competitors really rise. It's still very early in the age of the internet. It's easy for people to forget that, but we're still in a very early stage of what the internet looks like. So a lot of competitors that you might not be able to think of, that's always the case. It's hard to say who's going to come in and swoop in and be the competitor to Google, because they don't exist yet. Can you think of something that doesn't exist yet? If I said that the BlackBerry was going to be really a thing of the past because of the iPhone XS, you would be like, what the hell is an XS? But now here we are. Who has a BlackBerry now? Nobody. That's a thing of the past. If you want to look at something and how laughable the whole argument of a monopoly is, in industries like this, if you want to look at how laughable that argument is, go back to I think it was one of Time Magazine's covers about, and they did this whole expose back in like 2008 or 2009 about the BlackBerry. That was only 10 years ago, and that feels like a lot shorter of a time frame than just 10 years ago. But just 10 years ago, they were talking about how the BlackBerry was going to be the phone of the future. Now no one has a BlackBerry. When Barack Obama became president, that was like news stories. That's all he used was his BlackBerry. Now nobody uses a BlackBerry. Why? Because of competition. Because quality of products inevitably improve. And whenever some products are not staying up to quality, then they either have to adapt or someone else is going to come in and take them out. Now, Google already has pretty close to a government-mandated monopoly just because the way they work with so closely with government on so many different items. It's concerning, but that's not because of Google, and honestly, it's not even Google's fault. I mean, just think about all the NSA stuff that they work with the government on. That's entirely a government-created problem. So if you want to stick it to Google, if you want to bring down the big tech giants, if you want to bring down and maintain conservative voices, maintain libertarian voices, you can't do it through the state. This is why Google and Facebook and all these things are writing the rules, writing the laws on things like net neutrality, on all these different pieces of legislation that they're trying to rail in all these different companies, because it's going to crush their competition and the people in power, the people in the state, in Congress, they're falling for it. Hook, line, and sinker. It's ridiculous. It's annoying how obvious this is. But yet they fall for it nonetheless. The real problem here, and the reason that I wanted to bring this up, is because obviously recently, Steven Crowder, who I'm not really a big fan of Steven Crowder, I think he is way too much, and not in the right ways, but I think he has every right to say everything that he says, and sometimes he is actually funny, not all the time, obviously, but a lot of times he is. But what started this was that Steven Crowder was talking about Vox on his show, which is obviously. It's on the Blaze TV, before that it was on CRTV before they sort of merged, together. And, he called Carlos Maza, I think I'm getting his last name right, and he's from Vox, and Steven Crowder called him the lispy queer from Vox, which is kind of amusing because you can pretty much trust that it's sort of like tongue-in-cheek, and he's trying to be inflammatory, he's trying to get a reaction, like that's what Steven Crowder does. The problem here is that Carlos took it way too personally, which is funny because his @handle on Twitter is literally like the gay wonk or something like that. And it has gay in his name, so you would think that he might get a little bit less offended, especially because he flings out slurs like that all the time. You would think he'd be a little bit less sensitive to things like that. But he's at Vox, so, you know, what would you expect? And apparently YouTube banned him. Now that obviously is an issue. However, it's not something that government should be involved with. the bigger fish to fry here, and the way to really stick it to Google, to stick it to YouTube, to stick it to Facebook, all these different things, like I said, is not to involve the state. It's not to use your platform to rally the base around more government intervention to, quote, protect conservative free speech. Protect the free speech of conservatives. The way to rally around this is to say, you know what, let's go out and start a competitor, or let's go out and prop up those who have just as good quality of service without the silencing, without people coming in and trying to silence certain views or silence certain individuals just because of the words that they said. That should be the rallying cry for all of these individuals, no matter if it's Steven Crowder or whoever it may be. Now, you know, there's some people who I don't want to see in my life, but it's just, they're not going away. Look at Alex Jones. Alex Jones is the perfect example of this, okay? All these different companies, it was like he was mass purged all in the same day, all right, from Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all these things. And then what happened shortly thereafter was that his app for InfoWars had a massive spike in membership and downloads. That is the reaction that the market creates. That if there's a demand for it, it's much better oftentimes to just let things be and not try to paint yourself as picking sides whenever you have such a massive platform as much as YouTube or Twitter or Facebook does. That's the wise decision, because oftentimes whenever you have those reactionary actions that are taken, it oftentimes only hurts your cause more than it does help it. Okay. So that is going to be our episode for this week. That was something that we haven't really discussed on too much before. I have really avoided the whole tech industry conversation. And I know a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on it. I prefer to sit back if there's something that I don't have an immediate reaction to, if it's something that I have to sort of ponder on, because a lot of people bring up very valid points, or at least very valid criticisms and points of concern when it comes to the YouTube thing and Google and Twitter and Facebook and all these things. And a lot of people get scared. But there has never been an instance where a company has acquired so much power to where no competitor could possibly break through without the help of the state. Only whenever the state steps in does any sort of company ever have the kind of power to maintain their power against other competitors when people are so universally unhappy with their service. So I just want to put that into your mind, and just keep in mind that I know it feels good to sort of give in to the urge to use the state to fix your problems, but it's a Pandora's box that you cannot easily close, and you will regret it. In some way, shape, or form, you will regret it if you go down that road. And not only will you regret it, but the people who didn't ask for it will regret it just as much as you did. So please, let's not go down that road. Whether you're conservative, whether you're a libertarian, whether you're a liberal, if you're a liberal that listens to this program, please, let's stay away from that while we still can. All right, so that's going to do it for our show this week. I hope you learned something. I hope you maybe looked at things a little bit differently, or at least maybe sharpened your ideas or sharpened your senses when it comes to some of these arguments that have been floating around as of late. So before we hop off here, I do want to get into this real quick with you. There is going to be a restructuring of the Liberty podcast. The show in my assumption and in really some of the numbers and things like that have sort of backed this. And I think a lot of this reason is because we have sort of gotten away from the primary mission of why we started this program in the first place, which was to create a community of liberty lovers to go out and understand what the proper message of liberty is and to go out and fight for that proper message. We've gotten away from that a bit because more and more there have just been a couple interviews here and there, and then there's been a lot of my sort of monologue style programming, and I don't want to keep that up. I want to include you as much as possible in it, and from my estimation, it seems that that's what the more of you want than to just hear me ramble on and on and on, and to sort of, you know, just indulge my own thoughts for an hour or so. You want to hear me talk to interesting movers and shakers and things like that, and I agree with that. So what we're going to do from starting in July. So there's going to be a couple more episodes this month, a couple more things we got to get through before we really kick this off. But starting in July, what we're going to do is that the structure of the program is going to be sort of shuffled around a bit. In the past, we've done interview shows, and then we've done sort of monologue episodes centered around either history or philosophy or current events or whatever it might be. All of that, you know, in retrospect, a lot of those shows could have been either shortened or combined in some ways. And I want to get you the most quality in each episode as much as possible. So what we're going to do is that starting in July, what we are going to have the episode structured like this. We're going to start out, we're going to have our intro. Then the first half of the program, say 20 minutes, maybe a half hour, maybe less than that, maybe like 15 minutes, maybe 20 or 25 minutes, however long the show is, we'll kind of determine that. That's going to be where I sort of give my thoughts on the topic of the program for that day. I'm going to have a little intro monologue for the topic of the program for that day, so that way you all know where I stand on the issue, so that way there's no confusion whatsoever. And then following that, in the second half of the program, this will all be in one episode, each of these, on the second half of the program, we're going to have an interview with the most interesting people that I could possibly find, bring onto the show, and tie it into the topic that we're talking about on that episode. So that way, not only are you getting sort of a two-for-one deal with the type and the type of podcast that you're listening to, you're getting a lot more quality out of it as well. So I just wanted to sort of give you a show update on where this program is heading. It's exciting. A lot of it is really exciting. Of course, there's some other things that I will touch on next week with regard to where the Liberty Initiative is heading, because we have an exciting new program coming up that will be finalized this weekend whenever I'm in Atlanta. So next week we'll kind of go over that and give you an update on that. But that is the basic structure of the way that we're going to start doing this. So that means that we're going to have, I'm going to have a lot more time to sort of collect my thoughts and put it in a much more finely, neatly packaged format within the program. And then on the second half, you're going to be getting a lot more interviews with a lot more people that you want to hear from. And both of those aspects, I am equally excited for. So there's a lot to look forward to here on the Liberty podcast. There's a lot to look forward to within the Liberty Initiative. A lot of good things coming up. So just stay tuned. Like I said at the beginning of this program, please be sure to go out, subscribe, and then share this program with one or two of your friends, one of two of your family members. It doesn't really matter who they are, what their political beliefs are. We want to bring as many people in as possible. So go out and if you will, please just go out and share this. With that being said, please go out and follow me on Twitter at Caleb France. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter at Mill Liberty. Follow the Mill Liberty Initiative on Twitter at MillLiberty.org. Then we're on Facebook at the Mill Liberty Initiative. And like I said, please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes so that way you will never miss an episode or an update. And then with all of that being said, there's a lot to look forward to. So I hope you keep coming back and I hope you bring your friends with you. And until next week, we'll see you.